The Ask NT Writes Anything podcast is back.
Hello, this is Tom Wright speaking to you from my study here in Oxford in England. I'm really looking forward to the fact that Mike Bird and I are relaunching the Ask NT Write Anything podcast, looking at key questions that people have sent in, but also developing some themes that he and I have been interested in and we're eager to talk about with one another.
Listen today on your chosen podcast provider and head to asknwrite.com to submit your question.
Lucas on Life.
Hello, welcome to Premier Christian Radio. This is Lucas on Life. I'm Jeff Lucas. Happy Sunday. Thanks so much for joining me. It's a comment that I keep hearing in conversation over recent weeks. I raise an issue that I've seen or heard in the news, and here's the response. Oh, I don't watch the news. I don't listen to it anymore. It's just all too depressing. And apparently, this aversion to news is a thing. An increasing number of people are turning away from the news because it lowers their mood, new research suggests. The Reuters Institute did a survey, and the results suggested that almost 38% of us often or sometimes avoid the news, and that's up from 29% back in 2017. And then 36% of people under the age of 35 said that the news affected their mood. Some psychologists have started using the term media saturation overload, and other terms have emerged recently that include doom scrolling, headline anxiety, and headline stress disorder. While those terms are newer, the psychological strain of living through and absorbing dismal news is by no means confined to recent years, but things are getting worse. That's bad news in itself, and the steady drumbeat of headlines and related social media commentary has been without pause. It's been relentless. The ongoing, lingering after effects and ongoing effects of the pandemic, racial injustice, climate change, controversy about elections here and abroad, mass shootings, the list extends onward. In the UK, we news addicts are now outnumbered by news avoiders. A product, a news product that 20 years ago people sought out and in very large numbers paid for, it has become for many at times a depressing intrusion into daily life. So allow me to make the tiniest of contributions this evening here on Premier Christian Radio. Let me share three good news stories. Nothing but good news here tonight on Premier. It was an unexpected invitation. It was years ago, we were staying at a hotel in Jerusalem and we were 120 wide-eyed pilgrims, keen to not only see the biblical sites, but also wrestle with the complex issues that make the Holy Land a cauldron of ongoing turmoil. I'm not terribly impacted by revered locations. It doesn't matter to me that this was the mountain where Moses supposedly paused for a cappuccino. But I do enjoy the rustic beauty of Galilee. I enjoy standing on the worn steps of the temple and the ancient ruins of Capernaum. Well, they delight, even if a rather monstrous building has been placed over the remains of what is thought to be Peter's house, which does seem rather rude. Some of our group had been baptized in the River Jordan, the location enabling them to ignore the brown, muddy water and even the passing catfish that were keen for a nibble of white-gowned packaged snacks. We'd heard impassioned presentations from Jewish tour guides insisting that in a post-Holocaust world, the land was surely theirs. We'd visited Bethlehem, now encircled by a wall twice the size of the one that once spliced Berlin, and we heard from Palestinian Christians who felt bullied and forgotten by the wider world, especially the church world. And then came that invitation to Gary, a member of our group, a security specialist. He's more aware than most of the dangers of unfamiliar territory. But he and a Palestinian member of the hotel staff had got talking about football. Would Gary and a couple of friends like to go to his home, meet his family, and watched the game that was showing that evening. Responding was not without risk for both parties. For all they knew, Gary and his friends could have been walking into a trap, and the risk was, again, for both. It was mutual because the Palestinian gentleman ran the risk of being seen fraternizing with those outside of their community, creating suspicion from some. But the evening spent watching the beautiful game together turned out beautifully. Gary and his friends were treated as guests of honor. A cake had been baked, trust had been celebrated, and for one evening, people forgot nationality and ethnicity and settled down to just be members of the human family together. In sharing this good news story, my intention is not at all to comment on the ongoing political and military situation in the Holy Land, so if I have not nuanced the telling of it to your liking, please don't email in to complain. It's just heartwarming to hear of people taking risks to connect across perceived and actual divides. And then, just this week, I heard about another wondrous invitation, more good news. Hugh was raised in a loving but staunch unionist family in Ulster. Enmity trickles down through generations, and he remembers dodging stones from Catholic kids as he walked to school in the mornings. His response was to make regular hit-and-run skirmishes to Seaford Street, a Republican stronghold marooned in the middle of Protestant East Belfast. He smashed the windows of those he viewed as enemies. On that street was a chapel where IRA snipers had crouched. But then, years later, as an adult now and as a pastor, Hugh had been invited to participate in a funeral in that very same chapel. Wondering if anyone might recognize him from his younger junior thug days, he attended and was then asked to be a pallbearer to carry the coffin containing someone's Catholic son. And so he obliged, lending his shoulder in the solemn cortege that slowly edged down Seaford Street. As he walked, ever so slowly in contrast to his window-smashing sprinting from years gone by, he realized how much his own heart had changed over the decades. The point of these two stories, well, there is none, except that once again I offer them as a tiny trickle against the flood of bad news that so often dominates our headlines. In the midst of darkness, there is light. And around the world today, not only will kingdom people be making a difference, but human beings will be kind, respectful, generous, and risky in love. And surely, that's enough to make these stories, good news stories, worth telling. Good news stories. He used to be my hairdresser back in the wonderful days when I had hair. Larry used to do a fine job with my copious mop. Sadly, the passing of time has meant that the mop became a stranded peninsula atop my scalp, and what used to look like Texas up there now resembles the Isle of Wight. I purchased some clippers and told Larry that I no longer had enough hair to warrant his ongoing hairdressing services. But I still see my friend Larry at church, and whenever I spot him, I'm reminded that he's one of the primary reasons for the growth of our congregation. Larry cuts hair for a living, but he lives to get alongside people and share the good news of Jesus with them. Hairdressers can make great evangelists, not only because they have a captive audience in the chair, but with all that scissor waving, they're also armed. And then Larry is more than talk. Living alone, he usually spends his evenings in the bars and cafes near his salon. He has countless friends who know full well that he loves God and loves them. Over three decades ago, Larry met Nikki, a brilliant, beautiful law student. Nikki was paying her way through college by working evenings as a stripper at a local club. Mid-haircut, Larry chatted with Nikki about Jesus, and he invited her to church to hear the good news for herself. It's been said that we make decisions about people within the first 30 seconds of meeting them. Larry impressed Nikki. Many men ogled her, but Larry saw her. The following Sunday, she showed up and decided to follow Jesus. In the week that followed, she'd read the entire New Testament. Nikki soon realized that most Christians don't remove their clothes for a living, so she quit her job but invited her fellow employees from the club to attend her baptism. A good number came and they didn't dress for church, if you get my drift. Burly security guards wore donkey jackets with the name of the strip club emblazoned on their backs. And the dancers, well, they dressed in, well, actually not too much. As they walked down the centre aisle and planted themselves in the front pew, some of our church ladies were seen covering their husbands' eyes. A good number of the club workers decided to follow in Nikki's footsteps that day, so now we had a gaggle of utterly unchurched new converts to disciple, which was beautiful, but not without its challenges. Our church grew from a few hundred to a few thousand in the years that followed, but we didn't have a strategic plan for expansion or even an eye on bigger numbers. Larry, the hairdresser, Larry, the good news guy, he was the catalyst for the mushrooming growth that followed. Wind the clock forward to just recently. All these years later, Nikki is still following Jesus, and Larry, now in his mid-70s, is still cutting hair, inviting people to church, still viewing the downtown area of our city as his parish. Recently, he was out of town and decided to treat himself to dinner at a rather posh and expensive steakhouse. As he walked in, he smiled at a family that was dining there and was surprised when the young mother came over to his table, gave him a hug and told him that she and her husband wanted to buy his dinner. They'd never met before, but she said she believed that he was a man who loved people and that they had felt that love just when he entered the restaurant. Their first impression was powerful. Later, Larry commented, "Them paying for my dinner was amazing, but even more so was the feeling, the love for others that God has placed in my heart." We live in a world that usually seems too busy to notice and too self-obsessed to care, and we can all hurtle through life, heads down, phone-focused, indifferent to those around us. But we can turn heads and even hearts by giving attention to the first impressions that we make. A word of kindness, a helping hand, or even a smile, it can all have such an impact. If in doubt, ask Larry, because he's got good news to share, and he is a good news person. You're listening to Premier Christian Radio. Tonight, some good news stories. His name is Patrick Hutchinson. A father and grandfather, I rather suspect he's often at a local gym because he has huge, muscly arms with veins that stand out. Until recently, he was a man renowned for kindness to his friends and family, but unknown to the wider world. And then, a few years ago, a photographer captured a shot of him, a black man carrying a white, apparently drunken and allegedly far-right protester to safety, as anger boiled over in the streets of London. "I was just thinking of a human being on the floor," said Patrick later, seemingly somewhat embarrassed by all the praise that he'd received. "I scooped him up into a fireman's carry and marched him out." That photograph, the image of the two, is utterly captivating. Although we can't be sure, and we certainly shouldn't rush to judge, it's possible that moments earlier, that rescued man would have been screaming racist vitriol. To hear Patrick's description of the attack on the lone man at the hands of rival protesters is harrowing. He said, his eyes clouded at the memory, "It wasn't going to end well." But our hearts were warmed with the good news of a surprising portrait of humanity at its best, kindness in the midst of rage, an act of selflessness, as Patrick risked his own safety to help someone from the other side of such a great gulf, a courageous Good Samaritan. But then I looked again, this time at the face of the man who was being carried. His expression is a mixture of fear and embarrassment. He knows that he was quite close to death and helpless before a total stranger picked him up. A part of him seems to scream that he wants to be put down, to be relieved of his rescuer, but surely glad to be alive, his mind nevertheless reels because as he rides the shoulder of a man that he might categorize as an enemy, his paradigm of prejudice is undone. He is both dazed and confused by grace. I spotted Jesus in that snapshot. All power and might are his, all authority in heaven and earth belong to him, unfathomable cosmic muscle. But in him is strength tempered by loving kindness, restraint in the face of rejection, the fiery zealousness of James and John, who put in a request to nuke a Samaritan village, was met with a rebuke from Jesus. A nation wants the kingdom to be restored to them, the hated Romans kicked out, but instead the suffering servant humbles himself to death and trudges the awful pathway to the cross. And then I found myself in that poignant photograph. As a teenager, I mocked Jesus' name and taunted his people because they trusted him. I was on the other side. But then out of the blue, he came and picked me up. But then, like Jacob wrestling with God, how often I still struggle in his warm embrace. Discovering that there's nothing that I could ever do to earn his love, I'm both grateful and bewildered by my poverty. So I can shrink back, clutching my failures and sins close, nervous to accept his outrageous grace. I can be like Peter, who protested when Jesus came with a bowl to wash those filthy feet, only to be told that if you want to be close to Jesus, you just have to allow him to save you, to rescue you, to clean you up. That's the deal. That's the good news deal. I'm like the returning prodigal, the stench of the piggery upon me, thrilled and confused both by his welcome hug and kiss. I protest, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But he ignores my complaint and has the band strike up and the barbecue fired up. So we're grateful, Mr. Hutchinson, that you pass through the madding crowd. And as we celebrate the one who has left the 99 in search of us and took the trek from heaven's throne to Calvary's hill, let's not only rest in his arms of grace, but pass the good news of that grace around today. Our world desperately needs to hear it and see it demonstrated in our lives. See you next week.
Lucas on Life.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.